You are listening to episode 235 of This Is Type 1. Today we're talking about what to do when so-called authority figures, and I put those in air quotes, get diabetes wrong. So we're going to start off by telling you guys what prompted this episode. And this is Jesse's story about the lecturer who got diabetes wrong. So please, Jesse, please tell the story.
Oh my gosh. So a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in a intro to kinesiology exercise science course. So for those of you who don't know, that's kind of the undergraduate degree into getting into the medical field that MSU offers is like kinesiology, exercise science. It's like a pre-med kind of degree without being on the pre-med track. So I'm in it to get into physical therapy school. And a lot of people are into it to get also into physical therapy school, but also to be MDs. Or one kid I met was wanting to be a cardiothoracic surgeon, and that was very impressive. And I think he's the only one in there who could actually do it too, not gonna lie. But so basically, we were going over different types of long-term chronic diseases that can we will probably experience in our lifetimes, or we'll see within our careers most frequently. One of those being type 1 diabetes. Okay, so he explained it as very patronizingly and also say type 1. He said just diabetes.
Okay, that was my question was, did he specifically all call out type 1 or did he just say straight up diabetes?
Well, this is it too. He later like tried to backtrack a little bit. This was just like such a skim over brief, like 5 minute of, oh, and here's what diabetes is. It's where your blood sugar goes super high. And then nothing. And then he just like lumped them all together. And it was just like, dude, you like, I get it. He's a research professor, but at the same time, you think he'd understand like, oh, we're going to see a lot of people are going to see this. This is a pre-med degree, basically. And you're not even going to go into detail about what diabetes is, how it works, and how many people have it. There's millions of people in the US who have type 1 or type 2 diabetes. Millions. It just baffles my mind that like him teaching young adults about diabetes has no context and or nothing to explain to people, to young adults, people who are going to experience some type of diabetes context will not say what diabetes is and just wouldn't.
I have maybe kind of an explanation, but it is not an excuse for him.
Yeah.
Is that research professors and actually a lot of professors in academia have very little real world experience. Unfortunately.
Right.
And so it's situations like this where they're only kind of regurgitating what they were taught and also what they have found from their research. So if they're not exposed to stuff in the real world, I can see how that would happen.
Yes. And he was talking about it very clinically, which I do understand. I do appreciate that he was a research professor. He does a lot of research for the university, but it was just, okay, if you're going to talk about it right. And then it just kind of put into my mind some doubt of like other things that he had talked about too, different. We had talked about cardiomyopathy and like other diseases or conditions that people might have or experience in their lifetimes too. And it was just like kind of disheartening to listen to him lecture about this. But anyways, back to the story. So we get done with the lecture for the day and I was just like so disheartened and just so annoyed with this man that he didn't like explain really what diabetes was. He kind of talked about it and then he didn't. He said it had a lot more to do with the liver than the pancreas. And I was just like, that's not correct at all. Cause he was like, liver is expended through the body, through the liver. And I was like, okay, you're not wrong. And he was like, and that's how people get diabetes, and then didn't explain. And I was just like, my buddy of mine was sitting next to me. He was like, why are you so upset about this? And I was like, because he just explained my disease completely incorrect. And then he brought up a carb chart of how many carbs people should be eating.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah. It was he did it based on bananas, as in how many bananas carbs.
Banana for scale.
Mm-hmm. He was like, well, if a banana is 15 carbs. And I was just, that's not true. But okay.
Maybe like a quarter of banana.
Yeah. It's just like sitting there. And I calculated it and I was, I would have to eat 25 bananas a day. Then I did the math and I was like, that's 280 grams of carbs in a day, which is about double what I eat. And I was just like, that's around 200, 300 carbs in a day. Okay. Okay. Sure. And I was just sitting there and I was like, this man has no idea what he's talking about. And why is he equating carbohydrates and nutritional labels to bananas that he eats before he goes on triathlon races? And I was just like, what are you talking about? Like, seriously, this isn't even making any sense to me. And then he like tried to bring up an activity chart too of if you're going to do this activity for this long, you need this many bananas. And then you'd have to go back to the other slide previous to figure out how many carbs that actually was. And it was just like so wrong. And I was just like, dude, what?
Wait. Was he trying to explain as if he was talking to people with diabetes?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Oh, no.
Yeah. He was like trying to explain it. And I just was like, you just made this so much more confusing than it actually needed to be for people to actually understand this. So then I sent him a very nice email back. And I was like, hey, so listen, diabetics don't look at this the same way. I am type 1 diabetic. And here are some good resources to look at if you want to discuss this with your classes going forward. And if you have questions about what diabetes actually is and how it actually affects people, let me know. And that's all I sent back. And he goes, well, I'll try and incorporate this into my research for the rest of everybody else's standing. And I was just like, got it. You can try and put me in my place. I will not take it. But I just let it lie. If he's going to be ignorant and choose not to understand what diabetes was, then that's his problem.
That's his problem, but it's now also the problem of all the people he's teaching, because if they're taking his teaching in his class as the thing to know, all of those people are going to be misinformed.
Yeah, which, I mean, the thing is, too, is like everybody in his class takes a nutritional class, too, a nutrition class says going forward. So that's why I wasn't necessarily... For me, it, just to not get into an argument with him about diabetes and what it is, it's more beneficial for everybody to go to the nutritional classes and understand what diabetes actually is and how it affects people. Because that's where you talk about it, is the nutrition class. You don't necessarily talk about it in his intro to kinesiology course, which, I mean, he talked about it for 10, 15 minutes and then didn't talk about it anymore. So, and no one else was paying attention, really, to be honest with you. I was like the only one who was deeply invested in what he was saying because it was wrong. But so. Yeah.
That kind of begs the question, are you going to talk to or did you talk to the instructors of the nutrition classes?
I haven't taken their classes yet. I will be this semester. So this is a to be continued story. Hopefully I can talk to her and like if she brings up diabetes at all and kind of explain like, well, if you're going to talk about diabetes, this is what you should do. And then that's where I would mainly get into it and spend my energy.
That would be something to bring up like the first week of classes when all that you're talking about is the syllabus. I love syllabus week, just for the record.
Me too.
Talk to her ahead of the class and say, hey, I have type 1 diabetes. If you're going to be talking about this particular thing during this semester, I would love to help out. If you need like resources or firsthand knowledge, then I'm your girl.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it. I was trying to think of a good way to put that to her. Yeah, that's really awesome. Okay, perfect. I'll do that.
Plus it can help your public speaking skills.
Yeah.
Especially if they ask you to talk to all the classes.
Oh, God. You know, that's true. That's fair.
It'll do you good. Okay. So that was the story that prompted this episode. And really what we're going to talk about now is like all the people who can get this wrong and then what you can do about it. So unfortunately, many people think that they know about diabetes because of something that has long irked me. And you've heard about it multiple times on this podcast. People lumping type 1 and type 2 into the same bucket and then assuming that all diabetes is type 2. So you can go back to listen to episode, I think it was maybe episode 2 or 3, probably episode 2, where we talked about the difference between type 1 and type 2. And for those of you who need a refresher who maybe don't have type 1 or who don't know anybody with type 1, the difference is that type 1 is an autoimmune condition where your pancreas does not produce insulin and you need exogenous insulin to survive. And type 2 is a primarily metabolic condition where your pancreas does produce insulin, but your body can't absorb it correctly. So yes, some people with type 2 diabetes will be prescribed insulin because they still need to have enough insulin for the food in their bodies to be used correctly. But people with type 1, 100% need it. They will not survive without it. So like that is the primary difference. You can go back and listen to episode 2 for the actual full breakdown on that. But this means that without proper training and education, especially in fields where experts and authorities are supposed to be who we look to for guidance, like the lecturer in Jesse's class, who is probably the first exposure to type 1 diabetes or any diabetes that a lot of these students are having, then the diabetes community, especially people who are newly diagnosed, especially people who are newly diagnosed as adults, they're at risk of hearing bad information regarding their type 1 diabetes care. And that's a problem. So it's not just university lecturers who can be wrong. Doctors can be wrong. My favorite doctor joke is that half of all doctors graduated in the bottom half of their class, because that is a statistical thing. Yes, 50% of doctors, bottom half of the class. So though you might end up with a doctor who graduated in the bottom half of their class, and they might not be up to date on all of the science and all of the papers and all the research. They might not be plugged into the communities that are talking about all this research and advancements in type 1 diabetes and in basically everything that has to do with medical stuff. Also, dietitians and nutritionists can be wrong. There are plenty of nutritionists and dietitians out there who will tell you that you can eat rice just fine as a type 1 diabetic as long as you bolus for it. And while sure, that is technically correct, if I even look at a grain of rice, my number shoots through the roof, regardless of how much insulin I have. So what we're not taught, what these people are not talking about, and what we're not being taught as people with type 1 diabetes is biodiversity and individuality in how we respond to foods. So those things are really important. And I don't see dietitians and nutritionists talking about those when they get max like 15 to 20 minutes or 30 minutes per patient when you're seeing those people in the doctor's office. People who you might not expect to get things wrong, but will probably get things wrong anyway, fitness coaches. I have actually been really fortunate with the coaches that I've worked with, that they're very open to understanding my diabetes, like what I need. So I've never had a problem with that. But you might end up with a fitness coach who is like, you should do X, Y, and Z in order to train better or, you know, get better results with type 1 diabetes. And they're completely wrong. But we have to be knowledgeable enough to know that just because somebody has some kind of authority over us or maybe more knowledge about a specific thing doesn't mean they know everything about diabetes. Is also going to be YouTube doctors. So there are plenty of YouTube doctors out there, whether or not they have an MD. They might call themselves a doctor. They can be wrong. Influencers on social media can be wrong. Even people with diabetes who are influencers on social media can be wrong. We just got to put that out there, that not everybody, even who experiences this condition, knows all the right answers. And that also applies to Jesse and me. We might get something wrong. We might say something wrong on the podcast, and we might not know about it until somebody tells us. So that's kind of just an open invitation for people listening to tell us. If we got something wrong, please tell us so we can rectify it. And then the last one that I have listed, but this is not an exhaustive list. Your family, your friends, and your acquaintances can get diabetes wrong. So we just got to be aware that everybody has an opinion and not everybody has the correct opinion. So Jesse, do you have anything to add to that list?
Yes. Okay. So I didn't know this, but apparently some nutritionalists, if you're a nationally recognized nutritionalist and have a degree in nutrition, great. Awesome. This next comment does not apply to you, but some nutritionalists out there who are like on social media, who might be a reference from your doctor, who might be a reference to somebody else, who's somebody else. Well, apparently nutrition is not a regulated field in the medical industry.
That is correct.
That being said, you should be very careful who you listen to about nutrition, specifically when it comes to diabetes, when it comes to other things you might have going on. Nutritionalists are only as good as their education, so you should absolutely ask to see credentials. If they don't have a resume, what's the resume look like? Definitely look into that before you go and follow their word.
Yeah. So nutritionists don't need, they're not regulated. However, dietitians are. So if you are a registered dietitian, that means that they actually went through the schooling and the credentialing for it.
Also registered nutritionalists as well. I just want to put that out there, but there is programs out there where you can be a registered nutritionist, but not all nutritionalists are. And yeah, you can get some really interesting credentials and yeah.
So you can call yourself a nutritionist, but unless you're actually registered with a governing body, mm-hmm. then not the best one to go to.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what this boils down to with what we can do about it is, first off, be an advocate. And that's going to be being an advocate for yourself, for your friends, if your friends have type 1, for your children and your family. I recently read a post on Reddit, and it was actually a really long post about a mom's quest to get her son's school and school nurse to agree to put the glucagon in the kid's fanny pack, or at least to put the glucagon in an unlocked AED cabinet, someplace where it's easily accessible in an emergency. Whereas at the time that I read it, it was currently being locked in a locker inside the nurse's office, and that is not easily accessible in an emergency. So that mom, even though the kid has only had type 1 for like 6 or 7 months, she is advocating for her child because she saw something that didn't seem right. Even if the school board or the nurses or other people in charge at that school seem to think that it's okay for the glucagon to be locked up in this locker, the mom doesn't think that. And I mean, as a person with type 1, I don't think that it should be locked up in a locker either. So that mom is being an advocate. We've done an entire episode on how to be an advocate for yourself, and we'll link to that in the show notes for you guys to listen to. But really, it's standing up for yourself when something doesn't seem right, when you have questions. Sometimes doctors and dietitians, nutritionists, these people in authority positions don't like being questioned. And that is also a signal that they are not open to constructive criticism, to feedback, to learning new things. If we are advocates for ourselves and for our friends and family, then we are much more likely to be in positions where we're not going to be at the risk of misinformation or something bad happening because we took the advice of somebody who doesn't actually know what they're talking about. We need to be willing to stand up and dissent, which is really what I just said. Researching the truth for yourself. So not taking what Jesse and I say at face value, it's going and doing the research for yourself. It's asking for the paperwork at the doctor's office. You can go research, whether that's on the internet or at the library or whatever, being careful not to go down a rabbit hole, you know, start diagnosing yourself with other stuff that wasn't mentioned. But being open to figuring out for yourself, is this accurate? And who can I ask for like a second opinion? That's always a good thing. So along the lines of, you know, questioning rather than taking things at face value, I had this in the notes for this episode. So yes, cinnamon has been shown to help blood sugars in type 2 diabetics reduce, but that does not mean it's a cure. So we did a whole episode on bogus cures for type 1, which was a really fun episode. Go listen to that. We just need to use our brains is really what it comes down to, is use your brains for evaluating whether these things make sense. And if they don't, then maybe don't drink the okra water. You also want to be talking to the community to find out what others have experienced, because like I mentioned early with things like biodiversity, or bioindividuality is actually the word, what works for me in my diet might not work for you and yours. So for a long time, like specifically low carb, closer to keto, but not necessarily like strict keto, that worked for me for a very long time. And recently I've had to go back to actually eating carbs, and I'm fine with it. And that's okay, because that works for me now. But figuring out what has worked for other people gives me ideas for things to try for myself and be willing to experiment. It's really hard to do this when you're in isolation, but if you compare your experience against other people and ask for advice and tips and things like that, it's so invaluable. So places that you can look for other people to compare your experience against includes Reddit, Facebook, diabetes groups on Discord, different forums, in-person events, your doctor's office. If they can connect you with a local type 1 diabetes group, that is probably the best place to start. But talk to other people with the condition so that you're not living in a silo and not sure like what things you should be listening to. Jesse, what do you want to add to this?
I will say definitely be careful about who you listen to, why you're listening to them, and how they're giving you information too. Like for example, Colleen and I will give you the resources that we go to per every episode when we were doing research. Not everybody will do that. And sometimes that can be a really big red flag when it comes to stuff with medicine, when it comes to stuff about the environment, when it comes to honestly anything. But a couple of things to remember about diabetes or even any medical condition is something my dad said to me when I was upset one time and was ranting to him about this stuff, is that everyone becomes a doctor when you start talking about it, which is kind of unfortunate to hear, but everybody's had somebody who's had diabetes, or everybody has heard it of or hasn't heard of diabetes, and no one will just sit and listen to you, which is very unfortunate, but also very true. So just being careful of who you're listening to, what people are telling you, and what kind of resources that they are able to back up their claims with. And then honestly, sometimes it is out of good standing and generally people just want to help. So kind of giving the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that stuff.
The whole everybody becomes a doctor thing. You are describing my maternal grandmother's neighbor who sometimes would come over to Christmas, and she did have type 2. So, I mean, she did have some experience.
Yeah.
But I hated whenever she came over because she would be, oh, how's your blood sugar? How's your diabetes? Like, how are things going? And she would always talk about it as if like she knew better than I did.
Yeah.
I had been living with it for my entire life at that point.
Oh, yeah. My biggest pet peeve is when people like don't ask how you're doing. They're asking how your diabetes is doing. Like right off the bat. That is my biggest, my pet peeve. I hate that so much. I'm like, well, that's medical information and I don't have to talk to you about that.
Hey.
So like my opinion.
Walk in the door. Oh, how's your diabetes? Just don't answer because like they're not talking to you. They're talking to your pancreas and your pancreas can't answer.
My pancreas is dead. How's yours doing? Do you want to get into it? How about we talk about your uterus or how about your heart condition? Why don't we go into that? Why don't we ask about that first? Anyways.
So it applies to not just diabetes, just basically any medical issue you don't have to talk about unless you want to.
That or like my mom used to tell me this too, where she would be like, well, ask about how the mom's doing. Don't ask about how her kids are doing because it kind of takes away a person's like autonomy at that point. Like I'm not my diabetes. My diabetes is a part of my life, but it's not my life.
Yeah. Well said. All right, everybody. Now it is your turn. Have you experienced an authority figure getting type 1 diabetes wrong? And if so, how did you respond or react? What advice would you have for other people in the same situation? We would love to hear your experiences. You can share those in the comments on Instagram or on the show notes at the This Is Type 1 website. Remember, everybody, you control your diabetes. It doesn't control you. Hey, if you like what you're listening to on this podcast, you have to join us in the Half Dead Pancreas Club. It's my private community where you'll connect face to face with other people with type 1 diabetes, get personalized emotional support, and learn how to handle anything T1D throws at you. Join us over at inspiredforward.com/community. I can't wait to see you there.